Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Wisconsin Badgers podcast joins you on another tough one, another tough week for Wisconsin Badgers fans after the football team fell to Northwestern in Evanston 31-17. It was not a good weekend to be a fan of the Wisconsin Badgers. They now have three losses on the year. It's looking very unlikely that the Badgers will, in fact, get to the Big Ten Championship game in Indianapolis at the start of December. They're going to need a lot of things to go right from here on out. And it's been a tough year. And a year where the Badgers came into the season with legitimate college football playoff aspirations is, ironically, one of the worst years they've had in a long time, as they now have, again, dropped their third game of the season, second in Big Ten play. This one was a pretty tough one, pretty ugly. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Badgers podcast. We're going to be joined shortly by Jeff Patricus. He's the Journal Sentinel beat reporter covering the Badgers, giving us his impressions of what he saw in Evanston, what lessons that the Badgers can take applying them forward, and kind of what the chances are of this team to still get into that Big Ten championship game. Maybe it's a long shot, but what has to go right for that to happen? If you watch this game, you of course know that Alex Hornibrook, the starting quarterback, was ruled out with a concussion. He was in the concussion protocol after sustaining an injury early in the week in practice. So it was Jack Cohn, the backup quarterback, who was under center, and he had some flashes, but for the most part he did struggle. He had a crucial turnover and deep in their own territory that set up a Northwestern score. But there were a lot of things that went wrong for the Badgers in this game, not just the quarterback play, that enabled Northwestern to come away here with such a lopsided win. We'll look at the score sheet here in a second. I want to let you know that you should definitely check this podcast out on the Apple Podcasts feature. The service is probably the best place to find us. That's where you can rate us, review us, let us know what you think. You can also find us on Stitcher and Spotify. We love those ratings, those reviews. Let us know what you think. The Wisconsin Badgers podcast, one of several podcasts that we've had. Of course, the Milwaukee Brewers podcast is kind of coming to a close this season, but we still have a couple more episodes to get to before we start hitting in the off season. And then the Milwaukee Bucks podcast is up and running with Matt Velasquez. Of course, the Bucks, as of the recording this Sunday night, Bucks are undefeated. They've got a big game Monday night against the Toronto Raptors, but they are having a heck of a start, 6-0 to the year. You can check those out again, Apple Podcasts, on jsonline.com too. I don't want to sell that short, of course. You can always find our content there, and Jeff Patricus, Badgers beat reporter, all of his stuff will show up there at jsonline.com. The Badgers did score first in this game. They had a 7-0 lead, but kind of from there it was pretty much all Northwestern, especially in the second half when Northwestern outscored the Badgers 17-7. Northwestern has one of the most experienced quarterbacks in the Big Ten, in the country, really, in Clayton Thorson. He completed 17 of 30 passes for 167 yards, a touchdown, and three interceptions. I mean, the Badgers found ways on defense to make plays. It just didn't translate into really sustained success. Isaiah Bowser was tough. 34 carries, 117 yards, and a touchdown. Several receivers got in on the action. Only Kyrick McGowan caught a touchdown, but there was certainly a lot going on there that helped Northwestern's cause on offense. Jack Cohn, as we mentioned, getting the spot start with Alex Hornibrook sidelined. He completed 20 of 31 passes for 158 yards and a touchdown. Now, on the receiving front, you had Danny Davis catching 5 balls for 55 yards. Kendrick Pryor, 4 for 52 with the score. Rushing, really a tough game for Jonathan Taylor. He had not been held south of 100 yards all season long. Here, he was only got 11 carries for 46 yards. Just a really surprising game. 2 lost fumbles, really the big difference there. And we've talked in the past about Jonathan Taylor's, you know, occasional inability to hold on to the football. It's I think, kind of a small thing for a really top-notch running back who I still think was probably in the Heisman conversation before this game. But seeing the Badgers fall completely out of competition now, to not completely out of the championship chase in the Big Ten, but really it's a long shot at this point. So that definitely hurts his cause. I don't know if you can still call him a Heisman candidate at this point after that one. Alec Ingold, only 4 carries for 12 yards. We've been seeing a pretty good dash of him. Garrett Groshek actually led in yardage. 7 carries, 68 yards, just not a lot of rushing attack. Ryan Connolly had kind of forced an early interception, had 6 tackles and 6 solo tackles, and definitely made some plays. Evan Bondek ended up picking off that ball. Zach Bond and Madison Cohen both had interceptions as well. Again, the defense did make some plays, but ultimately Northwestern was just the better team. So let's bring Jeff Patricus in here. We'll chat a little bit about this game and look forward. What's going on with the Badgers going into this game against Rutgers coming up on Saturday at Camp Randall Stadium, and then what's left to cheer for here as the season winds to a close. Let's talk to Jeff. And here he is, Jeff Patricus, Badgers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He was in Evanston, where Northwestern took care of the Badgers, as we just mentioned. Jeff, we heard some rumblings early in the week that Alex Hornibrook might not be available, and then that came to pass after he sustained a concussion. So Jack Cohen gets the start under center. He showed maybe a couple flashes. I know he had some rough plays as well. What is your overall impression of how Jack Cohen fared here in his first start?
I mean, he made a few nice throws, missed some throws that I'm sure like that back, missed a couple of receivers who were open where he went the other direction, had the fumble, which pretty much sealed UW's fate. I think it was 24-10 at the time. He fumbled the ball. Northwestern took over the 13 and got their final score. So he showed a couple things with his feet. I wasn't expecting him to run much because you got to remember, if he goes down, you got Danny Vandenboom, who had basically played in 2 games this year, mop-up duty, and you just had no quarterback depth. So they weren't going to have him run a lot and put him at risk. And he does have some mobility, but you weren't going to see a lot of that against Northwestern. It was an okay performance. And I'll be honest with you, if Hornibrook is healthy and cleared to play this week, I would expect Hornibrook back in the starting lineup because their plan is to redshirt Cohen this year.
Yeah, I was going to ask if anything had changed. We asked a version of that earlier this year, if Jack Cohen, if having a loss on the docket, now 3 losses on the docket, changed the projection of Cohen, but you're saying no, he's still kind of on track to be a redshirt guy. Does him stepping into that spot, did that crystallize kind of some of the things Alex Hornibrook can do that we maybe just can't see from anybody else on this roster at quarterback? I mean, I know that Hornibrook is a lightning rod. We've talked about that over and over, but you know, you see Jack Cohen out there and you're thinking, well, okay, so now we know that Alex Hornibrook really is the best quarterback on this roster.
Well, I mean, those of us who had seen practice knew that he gave them the best chance to win games before this weekend. So, I mean, it's not a surprise, even though, I like Cohen's potential. He's a sharp kid. He's got athletic ability. He's got a live arm. So, at some point, he's going to have a more significant role on this team. I think I would have liked to see if Hornibrook plays in that game, I think they could have, you know, he's been in more situations. He doesn't get rattled. There were some opportunities to hit some guys in the intermediate routes that they weren't able to do consistently. So, I mean, it might have been a little bit different with Alex, but the quarterback play, I said this on the radio before the game, I didn't expect Cohen to play great, and I didn't think his play would determine the outcome of the game, and it didn't. They couldn't run the ball consistently. The defense gave up too much on the ground to Northwestern, and penalties by special teams killed them. It reminded me a lot of the Michigan game, where the offense couldn't move the ball consistently, the defense eventually wore down, gave up some big plays, and you had that roughing the snapper call when it was a 13-7 game. It went from 13-7 to 21-7, and UW never recovered from that.
Yeah, that Jack Sanborn penalty especially was a killer on special teams. We've talked a lot about Jonathan Taylor. I think maybe we haven't even talked about him as much as we could have. He still was sort of a fringe Heisman candidate the way that he had played this year. And then he had a really rough game. He loses the 2 fumbles. He's held to under 50 yards in a season where he hadn't been held under 100 all year. Was it a situation where they were just keying on him that they were able to take him out of the game, or was there something else at work that made this just a really rough outing for Taylor?
Well, he didn't get a lot of carries. One of the fumbles, the first one was, you know, we asked Jack about it because Taylor never really had possession of the ball. And I looked at it several times on tape, and it looked like the ball was put in the proper place, and Jonathan just never brought it in and brought his arms down over the ball. I don't know if he wasn't ready for it or what, but it didn't appear to be a bad handoff. The other one was, and he said, issues with this before, when he's in traffic, someone punched it out. And Northwestern recovered that one as well. So he didn't get a lot of chances, but you can't, you know, put the ball on the ground twice, especially when you have limited chances in a game that was tight, especially deep in your own territory.
The issue with this team on third downs has kind of popped up a couple moments in this season. Is there anything that you could sort of take away from that? That's kind of one of those things that's sort of a game-to-game phenomenon, it seems like. But is there something that's really standing in this team's way to convert on third down?
Well, there've been a variety of issues there. In the last three games, they're 9-31, and that was after going 6-12 versus Nebraska, which obviously Nebraska's defense is not great, but. There have been some games, for example, against Northwestern, they were good on third and short, 50%. But they were 0-for-3 on third and medium, 4 to 6 yards. So from third and four and above, they were 2 of 8, 25%. And they were 2 of 5 on third and long, which is not, 40% on third and long is not bad. But third and medium killed them in this game. So there have been times when it's been protection. There was a play where I think early in the game where Deal got the ball and the blocking broke down and he had no chance coming out of the backfield. And then there were some opportunities that the coverage was really tight and the receivers didn't have much of a chance to make a play on the ball. So it's been a variety of issues that you saw Saturday and through this three-game streak.
As far as the injury front goes, the secondary is still a little banged up. We didn't see Dixon or Nelson. And then probably the bigger new injury is Cole Van Lannen on the offensive line. It's a guy who's been kind of a breakout star this year. I guess the one thing you could say about the Badgers is they have so much depth at that position, they can probably absorb missing Van Lannen for any length of time. But now I'm curious, too, if some of these injuries with the season kind of spiraling out of control, do they maybe take their time with a Scott Nelson? Because I don't actually know. I don't think Scott Nelson would be able to get a redshirt year, but just in general, hurrying these guys back may not be as crucial as it once was.
Guys will play when they're cleared to play. That'll be it. That'll be it. That's the way they operate, whether they're unbeaten, one loss, two losses, three losses. One of the things that Paul always talks about when a guy misses time because of injury, you know, he understands the practical side of it, how it affects the football team. But it annoys the hell out of them to see guys, especially older guys, perhaps in their senior year, miss games. So if Scott Nelson is cleared to play, he's going to play. And, yeah, he can't redshirt. He's a redshirt freshman. He's cleared to play. He's going to play. If Dixon's cleared to play, he's going to play. The two major injuries from this last game are Oliva Sagapolu, who I wouldn't expect to see against Rutgers. It looked to be either an arm or a shoulder injury, and they were holding that right arm. You know, they were trying to keep it still as they were walking him off the field. Van Lannen, I look back at the tape, and he got rolled up from behind by a Northwestern defensive lineman, and his left foot, got caught underneath a 300-pound guy. So I would be shocked if he's ready to go this week. And I think what will happen, Deaton will get the start, you know, but they're not going to play him the full game. Logan Brush finished the game or got some snaps late at left tackle. So it's probably, you want to see if Logan Bruss can get time there at left tackle. The other thing you could do is move Dieter from left guard to left tackle and put Erdman in. I don't know if you want to mess with two positions, though.
Yeah, Logan Bruss does see the field quite a bit. Erdman has seen the field, so these guys aren't inexperienced, at least. You could say that much for what they have on the offensive line. Interesting switch in the punting game. We saw a little bit more of Connor Allen. He's punted a couple times prior to this game, but it seems like it was an issue with just Anthony Lotti just struggling a little bit in practice and Allen taking his place. Did that catch you off guard at all to see Connor Allen out there handling the punting game?
No, I thought there was a good chance because one of the things that Anthony had done really well this year, or coming into this year, was he learned early on at Wisconsin, his first summer, the Aussie-style kick, where backward spin, end over end, you put it inside the 10, sometimes as deep as the 5, and if you hit it right, it checks up or bounces back a little. And he had done a really good job of that his first couple years, and he had been put in some situations this year where they tried to pin the teams deep, maybe put it in the end zone by a few yards, hadn't hit it as well, or he'd come up a little shorter than he would. And part of it is they don't have as good of gunners as they've had before. Jamerson and Tyndall were outstanding in that regard the last couple years. So if the head coach is going to make a decision to try to pin a team deep with his punter, and the punter's not executing, I think that's why that what led to that decision to give Connor Allen a shot.
Yeah, Natrell Jamerson just got some face time in the NFL for the Texans on Thursday night, I believe. He had I think he had an interception. His name got called a bunch, so he's making the most of his next step. Just in a bigger sense, what has to happen for the Badgers to reach this Big Ten title game? I look at Northwestern's schedule and I don't see it, because they basically would have to lose twice more. I'm not sure that's going to happen for them. They've already beaten Purdue. Do you think what are the odds, do you think, at this point of Wisconsin getting that far?
Well, I always used to have a pet phrase years ago. I think it was on the chats. It was very simple. Three words: Moses, period, Red Sea, period. That would mean that would be my way to describe it. Wisconsin needs a lot of help. First of all, I got to start winning some football games. Michael Dieter addressed that. He goes, you guys can ask us all the questions you want about the Big Ten champion or getting to the Indy, but he goes, we just got to win some football games. We got to start playing better football, or it just won't matter, what we think of our chances or what do we have to do. And they will need help. You got to have Northwestern lose two games. Now, I don't expect that to happen, but, you look at what happened Saturday. Iowa goes to Penn State, doesn't he? Purdue, after just whipping Ohio State, goes and can't really move the ball that much against Michigan State. I mean, if you're looking at Northwestern's schedule, losing at Iowa is a possibility. Losing at home against Illinois, no. Losing at Minnesota, unlikely. But who knows? Maybe Minnesota, they make that their season and pull off an upset. But the one key that would help Wisconsin would be is if they can get into a tiebreaker, do they have a better record within the division than the teams with whom they're tied?
Right. Just another big picture question. Where do you think we've talked about a lot of this stuff, but where this team was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at the beginning of the year. I mean, there was a real legitimate buzz about college football playoff, and right now it appears that just couldn't have been further from the truth, and that this Badgers team is not as good as the last few. Where did we miss? Like what didn't we recognize before the season that is painfully evident now? That really is the stumbling block standing in their way of being one of those elite football teams.
Well, the first thing I'll say is I cringed every time I saw or heard someone from outside the state speculate that this would be Paul Chryst's best team, emphasis on the word team, because anybody who watched the team in the spring and then again in the fall knew it wasn't going to be his best team. And the reason I say that is you had legitimate questions, more than legitimate questions, significant questions about the defense in the spring. And that was before they lost Garrett Rand and then Loudermilk. And then as camp goes on, you're dropping DBs and the season goes on. So when I looked at the defense, my questions were, this is in camp after they lost Rand and Loudermilk, who's going to hold up on the D-line? Okay. And then I didn't see the playmakers at outside linebacker, the consistent guys, proven guys, that I had seen in previous years. And that has proved to be the case, especially when Andrew Van Ginkel got hurt. I thought they had enough bodies to be competitive in the back end. Now, I didn't anticipate Kerry Williams leaving, Patrick Johnson leaving, but even with those departures, the DBs haven't been the main issue. It's been the front seven. It's been outside linebackers not controlling the edges. Defensive line getting pushed off the line of scrimmage at times. There were a couple runs early in the game on Northwestern's first touchdown drive, one in particular where it was a third down, Northwestern ran the ball, and Northwestern's offensive line just pushed UW's defensive line off the line of scrimmage. And you didn't see that last year with the seniors. You probably wouldn't have seen it with Loudermilk and Rand. So the defense has been the biggest issue all season. The offense, with that in mind, would have needed to carry the scoring load and put up more points than it did a year ago. It's down about 2 points per game, from, I think, 33-8 to about 31-ish. But the offense has been inconsistent. So the inconsistency on offense, losing Cephas, Danny Davis getting off to a slow start, and in my opinion, two undervalued guys were Ramish and Fumagalli, because when you lost Xander Neville, you lost Fumagalli.
You lost his replacement. Because as good as Ferguson, and he's not the blocker Fumagalli was, and teams have figured out a way to take Ferguson away right now. And that's been an issue.
So last thought, Rutgers coming to Camp Randall on Saturday. Obviously, if the Badgers have any hope of continuing toward a, you know, toward a spot in the Big Ten championship game, they got to win that game. This is a team that gave Northwestern all it could handle. So what things worry you about the Rutgers matchup, if anything?
Well, I talked to the people down in Northwestern, and Rutgers gave Northwestern problems because Northwestern played poorly. Rutgers went to Kansas, got blown out. Rutgers lost to Buffalo and Lance Leipold in a huge, I think, a 29-point margin. They've had two games that they've been within one, you know, not outside a 10-point deficit in Big Ten play. They've lost seven in a row. Their quarterback has thrown 15 interceptions of one buck every 14 attempts. I mean, he has three touchdown passes. The thing I'm curious to see is, how does Wisconsin handle their situation? Because they know where they are in the standings. They know the season is not unfolding as they expected it to unfold. So how do they motivate themselves? Are they sharp? Can they cut down on the mistakes? Because they're better than Rutgers 7 days a week, no matter where the game is held. I'm just curious to see what kind of, how emotionally they invested are this week and in this game before they hit the road.
His name is Jeff Patricus. Read all of his material at jsonline.com. He's got you covered for the Badgers football team and the basketball team, which is going to get up, that's going to be going sooner before we know it. So he is the guy to follow. Thanks so much, Jeff. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Jer.
That's what we've got for you this week. Bummer of an outcome for Badgers fans. They still have a few more games on the schedule and have a chance, of course, to still go to a bowl game. Maybe some things fall in their favor and they do end up going to that Big Ten championship game, even though if it looks like a long shot right now. Again, find the Badgers podcast at Apple Podcasts. Leave a rating and review. Let us know what you think. You can find us at Stitcher and Spotify as well, if that's your jam. We'll be back again next week to talk a little bit more Badgers. Also, remember to keep up with the Milwaukee Bucks podcast. We'll be dropping a new episode on Tuesday following the Bucks battle against the Toronto Raptors. And see if they're still undefeated at that point. Big game coming up, a big test for the 6-0 Milwaukee Bucks. With Matt Velasquez on Tuesday, we will have another episode of that. Find that as well on Apple Podcasts or simply go to jsonline.com. Thanks for listening. My name again is J.R. Radcliffe for Jeff Patricus. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.